All right. Welcome to Investment Banking Insights. This is the only show dedicated to helping you learn both the technical and non-technical aspects of the investment banking process. My name is Alex Mason, and I am your host. Thank you so much for joining me today. And today, I want to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, one that we haven't talked about in several episodes, but I want to get back to it, and it is networking. Networking. It's so important. I mean, the last time we discussed networking, we were talking about it in the context of emails. And emails are super important as well. Sending either a cold email or a warm email, it's one of the main ways that you can connect and introduce yourself to a potential contact. There are bankers who are happy to talk with you if you just send them an email. And that can be a really great thing and actually lead to job opportunities. And the primary benefit of that approach is that you can potentially reach out to a lot of people. It doesn't take much time to copy and paste an email template, adjust it a little bit, but even if you do some more research and personalize it, as I talked about in the prior episode on networking, it doesn't take too much time, right? You can do it from the comfort of your own home and you can send it instantly and boom, they get the message. The big drawback with this though is that you'll likely get very few people actually responding to your emails and following up, especially if you don't have any sort of connection or prior relationship with that person. It's just really tough to get responses, and then even tougher to get interviews as a result of those conversations. So what are some other ways that we can network as we work on becoming bankers? What do we do? Well, one of the major opportunities that can be an amazing door opener is in-person events. In-person events. Now, the primary benefit is you can make deeper personal connections much more quickly than doing something that is online. And it's kind of like maybe an old school way to think about it, but even in an age of rapidly developing technology and augmented reality and AI and all these kinds of things that we have now, humans are still humans, and we want to be heard, we want to be understood, we want to be loved, we want to be appreciated. And in-person interactions, it's still, in my opinion, just the best way to get to know someone and for them to get to know you. And so remember, we're talking about connecting here. So that's the main benefit here, is that in an in-person event, you can make that personal connection, or you at least have that potential, much more than doing anything online, such as email networking. Now, the primary drawback of this is that, I mean, you're limited in which events you can access. First of all, like, a lot of these investment banking events are invite only, and you just can't just show up and expect to be let in. So that's one negative. And then also, even if you do have access to the event, a lot of your time, your energy, and your physical presence is required to actually be there. You can't just like be on Zoom somewhere and maybe like log in super quickly on the fly. Like, no, if you have an appointment at the headquarters of a bank in Manhattan at 9 a.m. on a Friday, like, you've got to get over there. You might have to fly, you may have to drive, take a train, walk, whatever. And you got to look good too, right? You got to be dressed up and ready to interact. And so that takes a lot, right? Time, energy, and money too, especially if you have to travel. So that's the main drawback of in-person events. Now, in terms of the types of events that there is a couple different categories that I was thinking of. First are school-facilitated events. And these are things like alumni talks, or company presentations is probably the most common form of school-facilitated event where you actually can talk with a banker. There are also bank-related events, bank-hosted events. You'll see things like this, like diversity days, there are symposiums, other things, other ways that the bank has created a platform in order to attract and hire new talents. And then there are also industry events. So think about things like banking or finance related conferences, or there are certain pre-MBA programs that can act as platforms to connect employers with people seeking jobs in the industry. So what type of event you go to, it depends a lot on where you're at in your journey professionally. So the way I think about this is there's kind of like two different groups here. One group is if you're a working professional and you're not in school. So if you're in that camp, you'll likely want to focus on industry events and bank-related events a little bit to a lesser extent, because you just won't have access to the things that students have access to, but you will likely have access to conferences that you can just look up online, you can sign up for them, and then just go and then start meeting people. Also, like career fairs are another potential way to do this. Now, if you are a student, you can kind of break this group down even further into two other groups. Group number one is like if you're part of a target school, quote unquote target school is what they call it, either at the undergraduate or the graduate level, this is a very good thing because banks are going to come to you. They're going to come to campus to try to recruit you. And, you know, talking about schools like Cornell, UVA Darden, Yale, Michigan Ross, you know, Stanford, Harvard, Wharton, all of these kinds of schools, like the banks are coming there. And so that helps a lot in terms of getting access to these events. Now, the second group is if you're not part of a target school, you have to go to the bank. And so that's where the bank related events come in. So either way, you just got to find out how to get in touch with actual bankers in person in a professional setting. So now let's talk about what you do once you're actually at the event. So you found a way to get invited to something. Maybe you looked something up online, or a friend told you about it, or maybe your school facilitated it. But one way or another, you wind up at this event. Of course, I think it should go without being said that you should be dressed professionally, right? But make sure you're dressed well. And then when you go to the events, there may be a set agenda, especially at things like conferences. There may be no agenda. If it's some kind of cocktail hour or some kind of meet and greet, it'll usually just be a bunch of people milling around the bar, maybe eating some food, and then you kind of have to do everything on your own. But in either case, you want to just find people and just go up to them and in a polite and professional way, just introduce yourself and kind of make it clear that you want to find out a little bit more about them and share more about yourself as well. And there's an art to this, right? Like, I don't know if I can be prescriptive in saying do this exactly and don't do this exactly, but generally it's just meeting people, right? And if you're really nervous about walking up and having a conversation with a stranger, it's really difficult. I know for a lot of us out there, a lot of us introverts, but you know what? The only way to get better is just to do it and practice and get better at doing it. Some of you listening out there have absolutely no problem with this. You're extroverts. You naturally gravitate toward people. And so it's not a problem. But yeah, for the introverts out there, I feel you. You just gotta bite the bullet and just go in there and start meeting people. And it's not so bad once you get used to it and you start to lean into the fun of it and it starts to become a fun thing if you let it. So when you get up to someone, I mean, of course, introduce yourself, right? Introduce yourself clearly. Make sure you pronounce your name the way that you want them to pronounce it. Give them a firm handshake, smile, and ask them to introduce themselves if they haven't already. And then that's the beginning of the conversation. And conversations can go a million ways. Like, books have been written about this. Seminars are taught on this. I'm not going to try to put everything that I know into just this one episode. But just a couple of things that I think are good pointers. Be curious, right? Like, don't just go up there and try to sell yourself on like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and let me tell you all the amazing, impressive things I've done. Now, do you want to hire me for your bank? Like, no, of course not. Like, nobody wants to listen to that person. But they do want to listen to someone who is curious about them, who wants to know about their business. Who do they work for? What do they do? How did they get where they are from where they came from? And what are they most excited about? You can learn so much just listening to people's stories, and the skill of being a great listener. My goodness, I've learned so much just by being a great listener. It has catapulted my learning 2, 3, 4x than if I hadn't had those skills. So be a great listener. Another thing is be ready with industry knowledge. So this is specific to banking. If you don't follow the markets, if you don't know where the S&P 500 is at, if you don't know what the 10-year treasury yield is, like, you should probably know those things or be loosely aware of them. And also any big deals that are going on, especially if you're shooting for a particular industry group, you should know what the biggest deals are in that industry. And maybe there's not a lot of activity right now, but you should just be aware. So make sure you're reading your Wall Street Journal. Make sure you're reading your newsletter services, Yahoo Finance, whatever. Like, whatever your source of information is for market-related information, just make sure you're up to date, because that can come in handy in a conversation where people want to talk shop and talk about the industry and talk about their work. Now, some bankers do not want to talk about work outside of work. Definitely respect that. If people just want to talk about sports or what they're doing with their family, like, just go with the flow. You know, don't force someone into a topic in a conversation that they're not passionate about, because then you're just going to bore them or annoy them. And I shouldn't have to say this, but I feel like I do. Don't ask for an interview. Don't go for the close at that moment. I mean, you're just getting to know someone. Ask for a follow-up conversation, either with them directly or with someone that they recommend. Remember that being transactional in a conversation, it's felt. You can feel that, right? When someone comes up to you and you start talking with them, and they immediately start trying to gauge like how powerful or influential you are, and you're just kind of like, well, like, I really just kind of wanted to know a little bit more about you, but they're just really sizing you up. Like, you don't want to be that person. And unfortunately, in financial services, you know, I think it kind of gets a bad rep that there are people that are like that. So just know that you don't have to be that person. You can choose to be different. So make sure that you're focusing on a relationship-driven conversation. Now, when the conversation ends, this is critical. Ask how you can stay in touch with this person. I mean, it's amazing to have great conversations and connect with someone, especially if they're a banker and you start learning about their work and you're just really engaged. But if you just say, okay, have a great night and walk away, well, okay, you maybe learned some things, which is good, but now what do? You have to have a way to actually get in touch with that person. Now, it's always better if they give you permission ahead of time to reach out to them later. You could do things like stalk them on LinkedIn, but what you want is for them to invite your next interaction. That's the best way, because then you're in their mind. They remember, oh yeah, I met so-and-so at that event. They were really memorable. We had a great conversation. And oh yeah, I would love to have another conversation with them, because I feel like they really want to get to know me. They want to get to know my business. They want to get to know my industry. Hey, maybe they would be good to talk to. So that's what you do. You got to get their contact info somehow. So either exchange numbers, LinkedIn, whatever it is. That's just a good way to stay in touch. I remember I went to so many conferences last year, and it was just everybody knew what to do after a certain point, because we were all like learning networking. But after a certain point, it was just like, when the conversation ended, like, oh, hey, do you mind if I add you on LinkedIn? Oh, absolutely. And we pull out our phones, scan the QR code, boom, now we're connected. And it can be as simple as that. And then you can follow up with a message later. You don't have to like necessarily write down their email or anything, but you can always do that too. And then after you do that, when the event ends, your job is not over. Your job is not over. You've got to follow up. Follow up, follow up, follow up. Most people do not do this. I myself have been so guilty at many conferences in the past when I was younger, a little bit more naive, when I just didn't know what I was doing. Like I met a lot of people. I had like a stack of business cards of people that I met, and then like I reached out to none of them. You know, don't be like that. Follow up with people. People go through all the hassle of networking in person, going to events, flying to different cities, chatting at different cocktail hours, and then the next day, they just go back to their regular routine. If you actually want to grow your network, you need to make an effort to develop relationships with others after the first interaction. So make sure you follow up with the contacts that you made. And follow up in a few days if you can. If you wait too long, then they're probably not going to remember you. And that's not good because like you don't want to follow up with someone months later and be like, hey, we met at this conference. And then they'll be like, oh, okay. Like I don't remember you. You know, you want to make sure that it's fresh. So make sure you follow up with them. And then when you do have that follow-up conversation, like just respect their time. But just keep reaching out, keep trying to learn, gain information, be clear that, yes, I'm looking for an investment banking position as an analyst or as an associate, yes, but don't come at it from the transactional mindset. Be like, hey, I'm here to learn. I'd love to learn what opportunities are available. What actions can I take, right? If you come at it from that mindset, I think people are a lot more willing to help because people are generally more willing to help people who are already helping themselves. You don't want to be a burden on anybody. So that's the way that you can approach it. And then many people will naturally help you if you are just focused on being selfless and just honestly trying to learn and grow and progress. Some people are going to shut you out. Some people are going to ignore you completely. That's normal, but hey, that's fine. You can just move on and go to the next person because there's always another door waiting there on the other side. So yeah, wow, this has turned into a longer episode than I thought, but I just had a lot to say about networking. So I think it's such an important topic. People in the investment banking world, I feel like talk about it a little bit, but it just doesn't get the same amount of play as, say, studying your technicals does. But it is absolutely critical because if you're going to meet people, you have to know how to do it. You have to know how to build relationships. And that's going to serve you well with your clients, too, later down the road as an investment banker. Okay, that's what I got for you today here on Investment Banking Insights. Yes, the number one investment banking podcast in the world, if I do say so myself. Thank you for listening. My name is Alex Mason, and I am your host. Thank you for rating the show. I love seeing those ratings go up. It just really, really warms my heart when you give the show 5 stars. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for reaching out on LinkedIn. Just more messages came through this week from listeners who are just discovering the show. So I'm really excited that you're here and getting value out of this. All right. I'll see you next time. Take care.